Hello, this is the listening exam. I am going to give you the instructions for the test. There are three parts to the listening exam. At the beginning of each part, you'll hear this sound. You may write down your answers at any point during the listening exam. Part 1. In Part 1, you will hear two news items. You will hear the news items twice. Before listening to each news item, you will have 20 seconds to read the tasks. You now have 20 seconds to read the tasks for news item 1. You are now going to hear the first news item for the first time. After a short break, you will hear the news item again. News item 1. Australia's celebrity bird, Molly the Magpie.
Australian magpies can live up to 30 years in the wild and are a protected native species, which is vital to the nation's ecosystem. In recent weeks, Australians have been following the extraordinary story of Molly the Magpie, a tame bird living with a couple in Queensland. Juliet Wells and Reese Mortensen rescued Molly when she was a chick in 2020. The Australian magpie became best friends with the couple's dog, Peggy, and since then Molly and Peggy have become social media stars with over 2 million followers on the internet. At first, Miss Wells and Mr. Mortensen posted videos and photos of Molly and the dog Peggy's games together, chasing each other around the kitchen. Molly's singing attracted thousands of fans, and by the time the magpie learned to bark, yes, bark, the couple was selling calendars, posters, t-shirts, and books about Molly and Peggy the dog on their website. However, last month, the Australian Wildlife Agency took Molly away from her home because the couple did not have a license to keep a native animal. But this story has a happy ending. After more than 150,000 people signed a petition to allow them to keep Molly, Queensland Premier Stephen Miles decided that Molly could return home. The Wildlife Agency agreed that Molly would no longer survive in the wild on her own. As a condition for keeping Molly, the couple must do some training and must promise not to use Molly for commercial profit. Not so easy for such a famous bird. Australian magpies can live up to 30 years in the wild and are a protected native species, which is vital to the nation's ecosystem. In recent weeks, Australians have been following the extraordinary story of Molly the Magpie, a tame bird living with a couple in Queensland. Juliet Wells and Reese Mortensen rescued Molly when she was a chick in 2020. The Australian magpie became best friends with the couple's dog, Peggy, and since then Molly and Peggy have become social media stars with over 2 million followers on the internet. At first, Miss Wells and Mr. Mortensen posted videos and photos of Molly and the dog Peggy's games together, chasing each other around the kitchen. Molly's singing attracted thousands of fans, and by the time the magpie learned to bark, yes, bark, the couple was selling calendars, posters, t-shirts, and books about Molly and Peggy the dog on their website. However, last month, the Australian Wildlife Agency took Molly away from her home because the couple did not have a license to keep a native animal. But this story has a happy ending. After more than 150,000 people signed a petition to allow them to keep Molly, Queensland Premier Stephen Miles decided that Molly could return home. The Wildlife Agency agreed that Molly would no longer survive in the wild on her own. As a condition for keeping Molly, the couple must do some training and must promise not to use Molly for commercial profit. Not so easy for such a famous bird.
You now have 20 seconds to read the tasks for news item 2. You are now going to hear the second news item for the first time. After a short break, you will hear news item 2 again. News item 2. Hot dog eating contest.
Last week saw the return of the Nathan's Famous Hot Dog Eating Contest. This popular event takes place every year on Independence Day, the 4th of July, which this year fell on a Tuesday. Contestants have to eat as many frankfurters and buns as they can in 10 minutes. The competition is known as the Olympics of Competitive Eating and attracts fans from across the U.S. This year, 35,000 people watched the contest in person. The competition takes place in Coney Island in the New York City borough of Brooklyn at the site of the first ever Nathan's Famous hot dog stand. Nathan's Famous is an American company which was founded by Nathan Handwerker, a Polish immigrant, in 1916. Starting with one hot dog stand on a street corner, the fast food restaurant chain has now become a multinational company with over 13,000 employees. The first hot dog eating competition took place in 1972, and the competition has since grown in popularity. Top contestants must eat around 16 pounds, or 8 kilograms, of hot dogs. That amounts to around 20,000 calories consumed in just 10 minutes. The competition is shown live on American TV and attracts sponsors like Coca-Cola, Netflix, and Heinz Ketchup. A separate category for women was started in 2011. Joey Jaws Chestnut from Kentucky is the current champion and record holder. In 2021, he ate 76 hot dogs in 10 minutes. This year, he won the competition by eating 62. The women's champion is Mickey Sudo from Las Vegas, who beat the competition by eating 39 and a half hot dogs. Last week saw the return of the Nathan's Famous Hot Dog Eating Contest. This popular event takes place every year on Independence Day, the 4th of July, which this year fell on a Tuesday. Contestants have to eat as many frankfurters and buns as they can in 10 minutes. The competition is known as the Olympics of Competitive Eating and attracts fans from across the U.S. This year, 35,000 people watched the contest in person. The competition takes place in Coney Island in the New York City borough of Brooklyn at the site of the first ever Nathan's Famous hot dog stand. Nathan's Famous is an American company which was founded by Nathan Handwerker, a Polish immigrant, in 1916. Starting with one hot dog stand on a street corner, the fast food restaurant chain has now become a multinational company with over 13,000 employees. The first hot dog eating competition took place in 1972, and the competition has since grown in popularity. Top contestants must eat around 16 pounds, or 8 kilograms, of hot dogs. That amounts to around 20,000 calories consumed in just 10 minutes. The competition is shown live on American TV and attracts sponsors like Coca-Cola, Netflix, and Heinz Ketchup. A separate category for women was started in 2011. Joey Jaws Chestnut from Kentucky is the current champion and record holder. In 2021, he ate 76 hot dogs in 10 minutes. This year, he won the competition by eating 62. The women's champion is Mickey Sudo from Las Vegas, who beat the competition by eating 39 and a half hot dogs.
Part 2. In Part 2, a reporter is carrying out a survey. You will hear this twice. Before listening, you will have 40 seconds to read the task. You now have 40 seconds to read the task. You are now going to hear the survey for the first time. After a short break, you will hear the survey again. Survey. Reality TV.
On today's Sunday morning special, we are going to be talking about reality TV. Why is reality TV so popular? Viewers seem to either love it or hate it. What is your opinion? Phone in and tell us.
Good morning. My name is Darlene. I love reality TV. It's so entertaining. Just think of the Real Housewives of New York City. The show follows the lives of six rich women in downtown Manhattan. Some are looking for love, others are building a business empire, but what is really exciting to watch is how they all interact together. Do you remember the argument between Kelly and Bethany when they go on holiday together in season 3?
Good morning. It's Sebastian here. I can understand what Darlene is saying. I want to add that reality TV shows often give the participants the chance to become famous and to make their fortune. Darlene mentioned Bethany from Real Housewives. She actually founded a cocktail company on the show and sold it 3 years later for $120 million. She made the most out of her fame.
Hi, my name's Camilla. Yeah, there are reality shows where the participants do well, but there are other shows where the contestants are badly treated. Have you seen the show Love is Blind? It features couples who get to stay in posh hotels in an exotic location. In the episode I watched, the female contestants had to first sleep in a camper van full of bugs. The filming sessions lasted up to 20 hours, and there wasn't enough food. Simply awful.
Good morning. My name is Ethan. I'm not keen on reality TV. Generally speaking, there is nothing real about reality TV. Just think of I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. Quite often the situations are manipulated and some scenes are cut because they are just too boring. Or the directors will invent situations which will create drama or an argument because that makes good viewing. It's just too stupid for me.
Good morning, it's Leonie from Preston. I agree with the last caller. Producers of reality shows often choose influencers because they bring drama, emotion, and controversy. Nice people don't make the show. So quite often, there are these celebrity influencers who have power, who talk about important things in society, but who don't deserve the attention and who don't know what they're talking about. Their views on important issues can be dangerous.
Good morning, I'm Madeline. It's true that a lot of reality TV shows are just dumb, but others have had a positive effect on society. I'm thinking of The Great British Bake Off. This programme encourages viewers to get back into the kitchen and start cooking again. Many of the contestants are so creative and passionate, they make great role models for young people. And they often support each other during the show, even though it is a competition.
Hi, my name is Caleb. Some reality TV series are successful because they show ordinary people facing understandable problems. This makes it easier for viewers like me to connect with the participants. I know it's not exactly a reality TV show, but have you watched The Office? The show depicts an office environment with everyday situations, focusing on relationships between the co-workers, their friendship, rivalry, romance, and conflict. I can really identify with this picture of office life.
Thank you all very much for phoning in this morning and giving us your views on reality TV. On today's Sunday morning special, we are going to be talking about reality TV. Why is reality TV so popular? Viewers seem to either love it or hate it. What is your opinion? Phone in and tell us.
Good morning. My name is Darlene. I love reality TV. It's so entertaining. Just think of the Real Housewives of New York City. The show follows the lives of six rich women in downtown Manhattan. Some are looking for love, others are building a business empire, but what is really exciting to watch is how they all interact together. Do you remember the argument between Kelly and Bethany when they go on holiday together in season 3?
Good morning. It's Sebastian here. I can understand what Darlene is saying. I want to add that reality TV shows often give the participants the chance to become famous and to make their fortune. Darlene mentioned Bethany from Real Housewives. She actually founded a cocktail company on the show and sold it 3 years later for $120 million. She made the most out of her fame.
Hi, my name's Camilla. Yeah, there are reality shows where the participants do well, but there are other shows where the contestants are badly treated. Have you seen the show Love is Blind? It features couples who get to stay in posh hotels in an exotic location. In the episode I watched, the female contestants had to first sleep in a camper van full of bugs. The filming sessions lasted up to 20 hours, and there wasn't enough food. Simply awful.
Good morning. My name is Ethan. I'm not keen on reality TV. Generally speaking, there is nothing real about reality TV. Just think of I'm a Celebrity, get me out of here. Quite often the situations are manipulated and some scenes are cut because they're just too boring. Or the directors will invent situations which will create drama or an argument because that makes good viewing. It's just too stupid for me.
Good morning, it's Leonie from Preston. I agree with the last caller. Producers of reality shows often choose influencers because they bring drama, emotion, and controversy. Nice people don't make the show. So quite often, there are these celebrity influencers who have power, who talk about important things in society, but who don't deserve the attention and who don't know what they're talking about. Their views on important issues can be dangerous.
Good morning, I'm Madeline. It's true that a lot of reality TV shows are just dumb, but others have had a positive effect on society. I'm thinking of The Great British Bake Off. This programme encourages viewers to get back into the kitchen and start cooking again. Many of the contestants are so creative and passionate, they make great role models for young people. And they often support each other during the show, even though it is a competition.
Hi, my name is Caleb. Some reality TV series are successful because they show ordinary people facing understandable problems. This makes it easier for viewers like me to connect with the participants. I know it's not exactly a reality TV show, but have you watched The Office? The show depicts an office environment with everyday situations, focusing on relationships between the co-workers, their friendship, rivalry, romance, and conflicts. I can really identify with this picture of office life.
Thank you all very much for phoning in this morning and giving us your views on reality TV.
Part 3. In Part 3, you will hear an interview. You will hear the interview twice. Before listening to the interview, you will have 30 seconds to read the task. You now have 30 seconds to read the task. You are now going to hear the interview for the first time. After a short break, you will hear the interview again. Interview with a wildlife photographer.
Today in the studio, our special guest is the nature photographer Ingle Arndt. Welcome to the programme, Ingle. Thank you for coming in this morning.
You're welcome, and a good morning to you too.
Ingle, you are a professional nature and wildlife photographer. Your pictures are regularly published worldwide in newspapers and magazines. Your photos hang in galleries all around the world, and you have also won several awards, such as Wildlife Photographer of the Year. How did you get started in photography?
When I was a boy, I spent a lot of time outside in the woods near my house with my father. He showed me how to observe nature, and then at some point I wanted to capture these moments on camera.
What do you take photos of, Ingo?
All animals on all seven continents, from majestic African elephants to tiny ants. I also take landscape photos and plant photos, but mainly wildlife photos.
Right. And do you have a favourite motif?
That's a difficult question. One of my favourite animals is the Patagonian puma. These are the most beautiful cats in the world, which live in one of the wildest and most stunning parts of the world, Patagonia, in southern Chile. Pumas are very shy animals and extremely well adapted to their environment. This makes them very difficult to photograph.
Ah, that's something I wanted to ask you about. What are the challenges of taking photos in the wild?
You must be able to work in extreme conditions. There are aspects you cannot influence, such as the weather or light conditions. For example, in Antarctica, I spent days trapped at a base because it was too dangerous to go out. The emperor penguins had to stick it out in the freezing temperatures and storm, but I would not have survived for 1 hour.
Your work sounds dangerous. Which animals are the most dangerous in your job? Crocodiles? Elephants? Poisonous snakes?
As a photographer, I try not to disturb the animals in their environment. I am experienced. I know how close I can get to an elephant, for example, before it will threaten me. For me, the most dangerous animal in the wild is probably the mosquito due to the risk of malaria.
Oh, that is interesting. What project are you working on at the moment?
For the past year, I have been documenting the lives of redwood ants.
Wow, that certainly is different to photographing big mammals.
Yes, their size is definitely a challenge. They are so tiny, only about 1 centimetre long, but they are extraordinary animals. Their social behaviour and teamwork are incredible.
And what are your plans for the future?
I would like to do a project on mountain lions in Colorado. They are fascinating animals. Very shy, which makes them difficult to photograph, like many big cats. It is this challenge which motivates me.
Maybe one last question. What would be the most important piece of advice you could give to someone who wanted to start taking photos of wildlife?
Be patient. I sometimes have to wait for days for the one photo I want. Secondly, don't concentrate too much on your camera equipment. Think more about the type of picture you want to take. Try to learn as much as you can about animal behaviour.
Ingo Arndt, thank you for this interesting interview.
It's been a pleasure.
Today in the studio, our special guest is the nature photographer Ingo Arndt. Welcome to the programme, Ingo. Thank you for coming in this morning.
You're welcome, and a good morning to you too.
Ingo, you are a professional nature and wildlife photographer. Your pictures are regularly published worldwide in newspapers and magazines. Your photos hang in galleries all around the world, and you have also won several awards, such as Wildlife Photographer of the Year. How did you get started in photography?
When I was a boy, I spent a lot of time outside in the woods near my house with my father. He showed me how to observe nature, and then at some point I wanted to capture these moments on camera.
What do you take photos of, Ingo?
All animals on all seven continents, from majestic African elephants to tiny ants. I also take landscape photos and plant photos, but mainly wildlife photos.
Right. And do you have a favourite motif?
That's a difficult question. One of my favourite animals is the Patagonian puma. These are the most beautiful cats in the world, which live in one of the wildest and most stunning parts of the world, Patagonia, in southern Chile. Pumas are very shy animals and extremely well adapted to their environment. This makes them very difficult to photograph.
Ah, that's something I wanted to ask you about. What are the challenges of taking photos in the wild?
You must be able to work in extreme conditions. There are aspects you cannot influence, such as the weather or light conditions. For example, in Antarctica, I spent days trapped at a base because it was too dangerous to go out. The emperor penguins had to stick it out in the freezing temperatures and storm, but I would not have survived for 1 hour.
Your work sounds dangerous. Which animals are the most dangerous in your job? Crocodiles? Elephants? Poisonous snakes?
As a photographer, I try not to disturb the animals in their environment. I am experienced. I know how close I can get to an elephant, for example, before it will threaten me. For me, the most dangerous animal in the wild is probably the mosquito due to the risk of malaria.
Oh, that is interesting. What project are you working on at the moment?
For the past year, I have been documenting the lives of redwood ants.
Wow, that certainly is different to photographing big mammals.
Yes, their size is definitely a challenge. They are so tiny, only about 1 centimetre long, but they are extraordinary animals. Their social behaviour and teamwork are incredible.
And what are your plans for the future?
I would like to do a project on mountain lions in Colorado. They are fascinating animals. Very shy, which makes them difficult to photograph, like many big cats. It is this challenge which motivates me.
Maybe one last question. What would be the most important piece of advice you could give to someone who wanted to start taking photos of wildlife?
Be patient. I sometimes have to wait for days for the one photo I want. Secondly, don't concentrate too much on your camera equipment. Think more about the type of picture you want to take. Try to learn as much as you can about animal behaviour.
Ingo Arndt, thank you for this interesting interview.
It's been a pleasure.
You may now continue with the rest of the exam. Good luck!